You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Guten Tag, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies, or HAPA podcast for episode 4. I am Brian Cohn. Good to meet, as always, my co-host, Alistair. Ali, how are you?
I'm concerned I didn't watch the right episode.
That was a shout out to my new best friend, Josh Wiggler. I made him a promise to do that to open the show, and I wanted to deliver.
Okay. Am I supposed to know this? Am I revealing that I didn't listen to something or watch
No, if you catch him, I made it a guest appearance on the community podcast and this big topic of conversation. So I wanted to give him a little shout out there.
That's incredible. I love shouting out people who don't listen to the podcast.
Yes.
No, but I love Josh Wiggler. So any Josh Wiggler shout out is good with me.
How are you?
Good. Who am I trying to convince? Good. I'm good. I just recorded a second NGOG for the week. So if I'm being honest, it didn't go great. So I'm hoping to make a strong comeback here.
I hope you didn't lose that recording as well.
We didn't, but I did like slightly lose my mind. But I'm excited to talk about the challenge. I watched this episode at 3:30 in the morning this morning.
Prime time.
Because I woke up and I had energy. So I was like, why not check in with my friends on the challenge?
What is the middle of the night viewing experience while there's a hurricane destroying the city around you like?
So this is going to sound truly terrible. But like I went to bed early, woke up in the middle of night, whatever. My mom like was trying to call me and I was not available. And I spoke to her today and I was like, what's up? And she was like, I thought you were dead. Like you're in a national emergency, like, or a state emergency, whatever. You need to answer your phone. And I was like, I didn't even know it rained last night.
And good for you for sleeping through those multiple. Apple's on their game. When there's anything going on outside, they will pound your phone with alerts about stay inside, take shelter. They're good with that. So shout out Apple for that.
I think I got one king of shout outs over here. You're like a 2000s disc jockey, but I got one like alert at like 11 about flooding.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I was in a onesie hanging out, went to bed. So not to be insensitive, I feel terrible for people who experienced flooding or were in danger. I hope everyone's okay. If you're worried about me, don't be. I did not even notice it.
Well, at least the flooding wasn't worse than the Big Brother Alliance breaking down, because that is what happened this week.
Oh, my God. The king of bits, the king of pop culture, the king of shout outs. We love to see it.
Do what I can. Do what I can. But yeah, this is big episode. I feel like this was the first big shift into, you know, the Vet Alliance breaking down. It was rookies going in and going home, but it wasn't as clean as it's been. So this was like, you know, I think the first three episodes was building up to this. And I think we're finally starting to get a little bit of gameplay and shifting of the action going on here.
Yeah, I enjoyed this episode a lot. I remain high-ish on the season, probably compared to the field. I don't think either of us had Fessy as the first person to shift in the alliance. Maybe you did. I definitely didn't predict Fessy.
No, not this early, at least.
Do you think, and this is jumping ahead, but only because I'm just thinking of it now, I don't want to forget to ask you this. Mm-hmm. How do you think Amber entering as an alternate late in the game impacted her position in the quote veteran alliance, or did this have nothing to do with that?
I would lean and had nothing to do with it because it came from Fessy, who already had like an issue with her. This wasn't like all of a sudden Kyle going after Amber, who like there would be no reason why they would have problems, and there's just maybe the veteran alliance broke down. Like there was already an outstanding issue between Amber and the Big Brother crew, between at least definitely Fessy and Casey. So the fact that it was Fessy, I think ties out.
Okay. Moving on. Big T and Logan, are we shipping them? Will Kyle Picard be shipping them when we go to the drinking game? I'm so curious. How do you feel about this crush?
I love it. I mean, as long as, you know, Big T's into like anyone positive, I think it's a great sign. I love seeing her happy. Her smile in the confessionals is off the charts. I'm worried about Big T standing in the game. So I'm enjoying as much Big T as we're going to get because I feel like we're not going to have her much longer.
Yeah, it's not her best move to start sort of a romance with a rookie to like make her even more embedded into the situation. But I'm here for it. I ship.
Yeah, maybe it would be better off if she started trying to date like Fessy or something like that and get herself in more with the veterans. But yeah, I mean, look, if she's happy, we're happy. So she seems happy.
And then a hard right turn from something fun and happy is we get the beginning of what's going to be the main thread through the entire episode, which is the battle between Fessy and Josh over whether or not they can trust Amber B.
Now, I'll toss a question to you. Do you think Josh's defiance of wanting to keep Amber also has to do with the fact that that's his partner and views her as, if I go to the end with her, I can actually win this whole thing?
Yeah. Remind me who the main. So Devin was the main voice in Tori's ear saying, don't put in Big T, right? That was a Devin kind of thing. And yes. Kyle.
And Kyle, they were both saying, like, if you do this, the vet truce is off and it's all hell's loose.
So I would say maybe 15-10% is like an interest in keeping the vet alliance together. I think maybe 5% is just Big Brother. I was gonna say, what's it called when you're like worried about your image, Big Brother image? And the remaining percent, math has never been my strength, is I have a good partner. But I don't think that that's so. Oh, my boy is back.
The star of the show. Yep.
Oh, that was so great. Wow, that really distracted and moved me at the same time. But no, I don't think it's I think we're going to have and a lot of the listeners felt this way. We're going to have a lot of maybe surprisingly good things to say about Josh, at least I might, in that he's right in that, you know, keep your friends closer, your enemies closer. If you don't trust Amber B, you should be able to trust her when she's in lockstep with Josh because they're partners. Yep. And she's a great partner for him to have. So I don't understand Fessy here, but I totally understand Josh's motivations.
Yeah, I think I can't let him say it. I'm going to also give Josh a compliment. I think until the last 2 minutes, or I guess the 2 minute segment before the elimination, this was probably Josh's best episode he's ever had on the challenge. I thought he made a lot of great points, did great in the daily, had great conversations. They try to build an alliance. So I thought he was great all the way through up until the end, which we'll talk about. But yeah, I think he makes complete sense of wanting to keep her. But then I also think Fessy also, like, he does make sense of why he's skittish of keeping her. I don't, you know, he wasn't fully aware of, like, obviously Amber's confessionals, that how much she bought Casey's sales pitch about diving into the Big Brother alliance. So maybe Casey, like, didn't do enough due diligence getting back to Fessy and saying how much she bought it. But for Fessy's point of view, she really would be probably going after him as someone that's not very high on her list of priorities to keep in this game, that he views himself. He's a big threat. So it would make sense why she might want to get him out for that too. So, like, I do get why Fessy would be wanting to get Amber out of this game if he's not fully convinced that she's ride or die with them.
I agree with you in that. To me, Casey is like the most to blame here in terms of what we didn't see and what we saw, right? Like maybe she did have this crazy conversation with him and that was just to confessionals and she was like, I don't trust Amber. But we hear in the aftermath Fessy say, Amber B did not talk to me at all. So, like, why is Amber having these conversations with Josh and Casey only? Casey mm-hmm. is not relaying the message. But regardless, even if you're relying on Casey to relay the message, you played a social game. You played Big Brother. Like, in what world can you rely on somebody else to make your social connections for you? Maybe she thought she could rely on the Veteran Alliance, and maybe she could thought she could rely on Josh as her partner. But it's insane to not try to squash that with Fessy in person. Like, you see what Fessy does with Nelson. Mm-hmm. Why is Amber B not doing that?
It's a great question. And this almost feels like after Amber had the conversation with Josh and with Casey, the four of them just needed to get in a room. Like, that's on Casey and Josh to be like, all right, we feel like we're in good teams. Let's all get in a room, have a conversation. You guys hash out whatever you need to in person, and let's get on the same page, because then we could ride this all the way to the end. So, yeah, I totally agree. I think Casey dropped the ball, because she's like, Amber bought it hook, line, and sinker. Casey wasn't really fully in with Amber based off her confessional, but Amber was fully in with them. And that's bad on Casey for not really laying that out for Josh, for Fessy, I should say.
And I was a little sus of what Amber was actually serving up to Casey. I thought it was great gameplay that she was saying what she was saying. I didn't know. And I know we get the confessional of her reinforcing it, but I was sort of like, I don't know if I'm buying it either. But she said everything she was supposed to be saying, at least, at the very least. And that's, you know, at some point, Casey's just not going to believe what she's not going to believe. Where I don't get, I agree with you that Fessy had good points, right? Like, if you're looking at Amber's list, Fessy's low on it beyond probably the people who were good to her last season, for sure, compared to you. But she's with Josh. So unless you're worried, and I know they perform well in this challenge, but that Amber B and Josh are going to be in some crazy power situation, I believe that Josh is like a Nelson and will lay himself down on the line for Fessy. So you have someone who's loyal to the soil. Why risk splitting her up? Maybe they thought, okay, we're putting her with Huey and we'll talk about that, so she's not going to win. But if she does win, your worst case scenario is that you've given a veteran to come back at you. You've given someone who's got skills to come back at you, and no one would be mad at her for turning on veterans. And now she's not going to be working with your best friend anymore. Like, it just isn't, it's like very little reward, very high risk. Because I didn't think Amber and Josh were really going to win that many dailies that he could be nervous about. And you'll have another chance to get rid of her. Like, it just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it makes sense why Fessy would want to get rid of Amber, but it doesn't make sense why he would want to do it at this point in the game. There's so much more to go in this. Having, for Fessy's sake, having Amber being with Josh is like the ultimate safety net. Like, as a team, Josh is, like, as you said, not going to let them go after Fessy. So he should be thrilled that, like, Amber's almost in a safe place being with Josh. So it doesn't make sense why at this point he wants to pull that trigger and go after her, because obviously, you know, she wins and comes back, and now all's going to break loose.
It's just like Tori. There was a reason for Tori to want to get rid of Big T, but it was not the time to make the move. And I think Fessy does not have the strategic chops. He operates on ego. It's like, this is someone who is not going to kiss my ring. She doesn't talk to me, so I'm going to hurt my own game. Like, I'm going to cut off my nose to spite my face.
Yep.
Which, like, yep. Respect. Listen, like, those who live in spiteful houses should not be throwing stones, Allie, but it was frustrating to watch.
Yeah. Now, I know, obviously, he's also jumping out, but I know the other person that was potentially...
Oh, we're all the way in the end, baby. Yeah, we're in there.
So the other person that was potentially going in, if it wasn't going to be Amber, was going to be Bettina. And Amanda, queen of just dropping all the tea on Twitter, said that Fessy didn't want to say Bettina's name for another reason, eyes emoji. So that, I think, context to it, but doesn't fully explain the decision, because there's obviously other people you could still name.
Who was the other person? Didn't Michelle and, or didn't Corey L name one other person? I have it in my notes.
I think it was Priscilla, right?
Priscilla was definitely someone else who hadn't gone in.
Yep.
They said, yeah, okay, so no, he said Huey and Bettina, never mind. So, like, Priscilla's the only other person, I guess, who didn't go in yet, and that was sort of their pitch. And we'll talk about the pros and cons of the Coriel and Michelle social game, strategy game there. But to me, this was one, I agree with you, and I will even defend Josh's behavior at the lair, but not to go against our good friend TJ. But I thought this was Josh's best episode that we've ever seen from him. And it was one of Fessy's worst, which puts it on par with every other episode of Fessy.
Anytime Fessy's in power, I feel like we come away with it being like, what is Fessy doing? Like, I don't think he this guy handles power so poorly, and he wins it so often, so he has a lot of experience. So you'd think he would, like, learn from his mistakes and start getting better with it. But no, he just, you know, continually gets worse. At least the one thing he did that was good was he didn't then back off voting for Amber. I think to pull a Tory, like, if you're going to get to that point where you're going to say Amber's name, you can't then be convinced at the lair and back off. So I'll give him credit for at least following through with it, because backing off is just almost just as bad.
The bar is so low.
It's very low. It's an ant off the ground. The ant is carrying the bar off the ground, but it's a little bit off the ground.
This moment between CT and Huey, to switch gears from our dear friends, Jesse, for a little bit. This setup sort of, I guess, again, there was a lot of continuity through these episodes. I mean, MTV does a great job. The story editors, whatever, do a great job editing the stories here. But it made me uncomfortable. And then I guess I was uncomfortable pretty much the entire episode with the discussion around Huey, mm-hmm. where I'm really tired of CT, particularly CT, who let himself go, you know, a few years ago. And haven't we all, like, no disrespect, no mm-hmm. body shaming for CT, but that's been sort of a storyline for him. And for him to right. be like giving him sort of the big T experience of like, I didn't think you'd actually work out. I'm shocked. You're actually decently athletic. You're actually like mm-hmm. maybe could compete. It's like that becomes the whole narrative that people are underestimating Huey, and whether it be because of his appearance or whether it be because he's gay. I'm not putting that on CT necessarily, but it did this whole that moment didn't sit well with me. And I think it was supposed to be a compliment to Huey, but it was very backhanded.
Definitely backhanded. Huey does, I mean, he also brings it on himself a little bit with how he reacts to like almost every daily that he steps in, where he has like a mental breakdown to doing basically anything. So I think that also breeds this level of underestimating him, where it just seems like he's like on the verge of like wanting to quit and not do anything. And then he does it. He usually does it pretty well, but just like the moment of him freaking out, I think sheds that light on it too. But yeah, this is like CT's like new thing. He's like, he just picks someone as like the underrated person. I guess maybe CT and Huey are going to be paired up at some point, even though they can't be. But I mean, that's just how CT's arcs have gone.
Yeah, it's not like I saw Huey and was like, that's going to be the future of the challenge. Huey's like going to take it all. Mm-hmm. But maybe this episode reminds us all to like think about what we're thinking about, and I when we look at someone and. I do think, you know, we acknowledge that in the Must Lose draft that like we were going off of nothing with right. some of these people. It was shows they've been on or their physical appearance or how many workout videos they're trying to sell on Instagram.
Yeah. And Huey was the second pick in that. Not that, you know, I don't think we should give much credit to Scala because he also didn't recognize Devin as the most popular guy to be picked. And he selected him. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's talk about Devin. So I think I love this scene with him and Kyle. Like, Kyle kind of finally came off the bench this episode. Doesn't have his best episode.
No.
But definitely entertaining between Dial. I love the scene where he's like, every season, Corey's talking about his family.
And they all kind of like, well, I'm going to have a kid next year. And I was like, well, I'm screwing you next year.
This is the last season I trust you. Exactly. Yeah.
I was thinking if only Corey was like peering off in the background staring at the conversation with the king of giving good looks, that even if he wasn't there, MTV should have just edited it to make it look like he was like listening all around the corner.
Daria wrote to us and made a comment about the mashup of their faces. I have to tell you that I thought they just cut to Devin doing a Kyle impression. And maybe that's, I was like, why are they just showing him pouting? Like, is that just him making fun of Kyle? Like, truly, maybe that's a product of watching this at 3:30 in the a.m. or in the a.m. or I have to get my eyes checked or something.
Yeah, blame it on the winds or something like that. Yeah, that was very funny.
Winds that I didn't notice.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised they didn't do a double confessional. I don't think they've really ever like done like the combined faces. Like they've had people dress up as people in confessionals and things like that, but combine the faces. We're getting to, you know, what is that when you the deep dark. Deep spaces. What is it called? The deep fake. We're on to the deep fakes between Devin and Kyle now. Took me a while, but I landed on the way. I don't think it's even the right way to describe it, but here we are.
Tom Palmer wants to know, which bromance is your favorite? Dial, Jesse, or my new favorite, Jevin, which is Josh and Devin. Jesse being Josh and Jesse. Yeah. Dial, okay. Obviously.
I don't know who Jesse is. Definitely not Jesse. that's for sure. Devin and Kyle are great. This is a great episode for Devin, too, just as it was a great one for Josh. I thought Devin came across pretty well. I know he kind of gets like sort of screwed by his pseudo best friend, but I thought Devin came across pretty well, too.
Would we be Bally or Orion?
Isn't that a constellation?
That's Orion.
I guess Bally, probably.
Bally Total Fitness here.
There you go.
Thanks to Bally's workout plan. How many times can I work that in? All right. Anyway, yeah, I like Dial also. I like Jevin because Jevin acts the way that we act towards Josh, which is like Devin's like, can't believe I'm saying this. My guy's giving me good advice.
Right. Yeah, they're weird. They're that weird like buddy cop combo that like you can't turn away from.
Let's talk about Camber. We sort of talked about this Casey and Amber conversation. Tom Palmer says, what the hell is wrong with Casey and Fessy? Amber was loyal to them all last season, and they all made the final together. Why do they continue to treat her like garbage?
I really don't know. I mean, I can't figure it out. It's not like Amber's been trashing them. She's not like a bad person to have an alliance. I mean, if they just straight up viewed her as like a final threat, I would get it more, but that doesn't seem to be the case. I mean, I guess they just don't hang out in the off season, and the Amber and Casey, Fessy, and Josh do, so they're just friends, and I guess they just don't want someone just to be lumped in just because they're part of Big Brother.
That's the thing, right? I think the show is not enough. The show is an entry point, right? It's like, it's not the same as International Survivor is to US Survivor in terms of like not being familiar with each other, but look at what happened to Tommy, Michelle and Michaela, right? Like they turned on each other immediately when necessary. The show can be a bond, but you can't ride it out multiple seasons and expect loyalty just based off of that. Casey, Josh, literally I had four options. Three of them would have been right. I went with the wrong one. Fessy, Josh, and Casey are legitimately really good friends in real life. And so Amber's just sort of the fourth. And I think she took a lot of offense, not necessarily to like how things actually played out on her season, but like the things she heard them say when she got back kind of thing. Like the carried me comment, like those kinds of things, I think frustrated her more than like how things actually played out on the season.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, Fessy trying to get her out here would have cinched it. But what will recinch it is when she watches this season and sees the confessionals from Casey where she's like totally writing her off again. So this will be it. Like next season, if they're all back together, there won't even be a hint, I don't think, of them working together, because I can't imagine Amber going back with them at any point at this point.
It's also weird that Casey opens this conversation by saying she wants to squash the Big Brother alliance. Like, how is that what you're saying? Even if that's true, right? Maybe Casey kind of feels like, okay, I'm good with Nani, I'm good with Josh, I'm good with Fessy, and like all those things have nothing to do with Big Brother. If I add Amber, then we are this like Big Brother alliance, and then we are this threat. If I exclude Amber, it proves that Big Brother's not a thing, so don't worry about me, Josh, and Fessy, right? So it's very strange to say that to Amber. Like, hey, we're not in an alliance. We're just all friends and around.
Right. Especially because, I mean, there was a way, could have been a way to spin it, kind of like how they're doing on like Big Brother right now, is where each, you know, they're Big Brother alliance, but they each have their partner. Like Casey has Nani, and all these other people can have their one person outside the Big Brother crew. So it doesn't seem like they're the Big Brother crew, but instead, she doesn't really spin it that way. And instead, I don't know, but Casey, Amber bought everything that Casey was saying. Like, I couldn't believe the confessional that Amber had afterwards, that, you know, she felt great about this conversation and she's ready to move forward. I was stunned by that.
That's why I was a little sus of it. I was like, I don't feel like that could possibly be your vibe from that conversation.
Yeah. Unless, I don't know, Casey, maybe she's got some snow potential. I mean, she won Big Brother. People like her for some reason, so she's got that going for her.
Also, people, I guess, they hear what they want to hear, right? Like, I do believe that Amber came in, like, wanting to make amends with the situation, and she has no reason to not want to work with the Big Brother people. So it's sort of like, if you hear what you want to hear, then it's all good.
Yeah, I'm sure for Amber's sake, this would be better for her to work with them, because she doesn't want to see elimination. She wants to get to a final where she would have a great chance to win again. So any numbers she can have, if it would be for the better.
And look, Josh is her partner, right? So and she doesn't expect to go in and switch that up anytime soon. And there's no way she expects someone to pull Josh down and steal her or steal Josh. So I might as well, you know, come with the one who brung you. Is that a exactly. Dance with the one who brung you? Okay. Yeah. Ooh, not my day. Let's talk about the daily.
Yes, undercover comms. It's done in two heats. One of the partners is strung up above the water, upside down under ropes. They have to read a combination over a walkie-talkie to their partner on the ground, and they have to open up and get detonator. They can put it on any team to drop them from the water, and if they get another one, they can drop everyone and win the heat.
Yeah. It's all right.
It was all right. It's been one of the better ones. Mainly because, again, with this many people, it's nice that it's only done twice, not you know, each pair doing it. I'm not always a big fan of, you know, the chopping block challenge, where clearly, you know, you can go after Michelle and Coriel. They don't really have a chance to win this one, which is a big time bummer. But it did produce some good level of drama afterwards, so it did work out.
I did think this was the perfect time for a challenge like this, because you have such a big alliance and nobody sort of like had any reason to say who's on top, who's on the bottom. And it was so chaotic and like individual that you couldn't really, I mean, you had Kyle, to his credit, screaming like, don't put it in mind, don't put it in mind. But most people weren't paying attention to who was, you know, detonating whom. So I thought it was more successful than some of the other ones we've seen, both on the challenge and in other shows.
Yeah. No, that's totally fair. That's totally fair. Heat 2 obviously brought more of the intrigue. Heat 1, the other thing, actually, I don't really like Huey having his meltdown, but other than that, I think everything else kind of came out of Heat 2. So that's really where the big stuff was, up with Josh and Amber winning Heat 1.
Agreed. And the vets do try to collude in a way that they're saying, we're going to detonate the people who are doing the worst to allow someone from our heat to beat the other heat, which is weird when they know who won Heat 1 and it's a vet team. So it's like weird that they're so motivated to try to win from their side. But it seems like they're just so interested in not ruffling feathers. So they needed to give people a reason. Okay, we're not going to think you're coming for us if you detonate us when we're in last place.
Yeah. And this wasn't like a clear one where it's like so simple who was in front and who was like behind. Obviously, whoever gets there, like the first detonator, would be in front, but then you still have to get the second one. It's not like it's like a long race where like clearly someone out in front was going to win. Like here, it seemed like, you know, once you start to get like a detonator, like at any moment you could just jump ahead. So like, I get the idea in theory to want to just like push like a certain winner, but this one felt like forced to try to push this off on.
I agree from our perspective as viewers, which is all that should matter. I would suspect that it was easier to tell who is in first or whatever when you were there, based on how certain they were that it was like a tragedy that Kyle put it in Devin's. Like, yes, part of it was because Kyle and Devin are so close. But I do think if Kyle could have even argued that Devin was not in first place, they would have said, okay, you did what you were supposed to do. Like, Devin seemed to be like, Fessy and Esther were in a worse position.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I guess, you know, with the chaos, definitely from our perspective, it's hard to tell. So I guess when you're there, it's what seemingly would be easier to tell. You're probably right.
What do you watch the aftermath? Kyle said there was like actually more of a reason why he did it. It was like he didn't want to piss off Fessy and Esther, and he knew that he could like get out of it with Devin. Do you tweet that? I saw that somewhere.
Yeah, but that's like always that risky thing where, you know, you take your ally for granted and he ends up blowing up on you. And sometimes your ally is the one who needs the most care. So yeah, it's a risky thing to do, to go after him like that when there are other people. And again, you could just say it's the chaos, but you know, it is risky to go after your ally like that, obviously.
Jumping ahead to when Devin's reacting to it, like, I actually did not think Devin was talking down to Kyle, and not to invalidate what Kyle felt his experience was when he was like, mm-hmm. don't talk down to us. I think Devin was talking up to him in that, like, I don't believe for one second that you couldn't tell or you were disoriented, you knew what you were doing. And it's like, yeah, he did know what he was doing. So I thought it was kind of like gaslighting Devin to say, like, now you're talking down to us and condescending.
Yeah, I mean, the worst thing I guess you could say about how Devin handled it was maybe you hold the reaction until you're not in front of everyone and make it so obvious that you're angry and upset and pin a target on both of you. So maybe, but it's hard to control, like in the moment, you're going to be upset. So that's obviously a lot easier said than done than to do it in that moment. But I guess that would be the one thing you could kind of knock Devin for.
Maura said, I'm confused as to why Devin is mad at Kyle. It seemed like Fessy/Esther were further along than Devin and Emmy. The plan was to keep the team that was winning, so Kyle actually did follow the plan. I think, right, it was hard for us to tell. I don't think that ended up being the case based on how mm-hmm. everyone reacted. But I did want to shout out Esther. I love Esther being like, they don't know I'm a genius, baby.
Yeah, law school, right? Top of her class, good for her.
Boom, love Esther. She killed it. And to give Fessy credit on the aftermath, Fessy completely credited Esther for this win. I think he's mm-hmm. done a lot. You know, it's hard to say if it's because he believes in Esther and he likes his partner, and right. he basically didn't like his partner at all last season, or if he just took notes from the complaints last season, and he seems to really be giving Esther her due.
Yeah, look, I'm here for the Evolve Fessy, giving people compliments where it's due, so good for him.
Ben Jenkins says, so I don't think this is what happened, but this is me now saying, if you could put on your tinfoil hat, Brian, for a moment.
I got it. Always ready.
Devin and Kyle had choreographed. Sorry. So I don't think this is what happened, but Devin and Kyle had choreographed that fight to make them seem less of a pair. Is it a good move? So had Devin and Kyle choreographed the fight?
I don't think so. And then if they did, I don't think that would be a good idea. I don't, like, as has been pointed out a couple of times on this episode, like, the Challenge House is always waiting for people to put a target on their back and give people a reason to jump aboard the bandwagon and vote someone in. So to do such a public fight like that, right when you're on the verge of the vets having to turn on each other, I don't see how that could possibly be a good thing.
People also, I totally agree with that. And also, like, Kyle already has a reputation for being a snake. So to snake out your closest ally
right.
in front of everyone is like, well, how can I trust you if Devin can't? Not great.
Yeah, no, there's no upside there.
And who's really threatened by pairs at this point, right? Like, oh, is Kyle and Devin the most threatening pair in the house over Fessy, Josh, and Casey, and Nani as like a solid four?
Right. What about their marriage? Sorry.
What?
I don't know. I was thinking about Adam Klein. Really going through all day.
But who's married? Ashley and Amanda.
I'm all over the place.
Ashley and Amanda. Corey and Nelson, like the strongest mm-hmm. two ever. So I don't right. think pairs concern people much, like as much as they would in a Survivor type game.
Right. No, absolutely.
Nisa and Tori, colleagues.
Good. Podcasters.
But Fessy and Esther win. You know, it does end up bearing for, like, if Kyle had detonated Fessy and Esther, either Kyle or Devin's team would have won, right? That's sort of where they were at, because it came down to Amanda and Kyle, Devin and Emmy right. and Fessy and Esther.
Yeah. Or if, I mean, if Josh or Amber had won, obviously things would be quite different for this episode.
But if you're a veteran, if you're Devin and you're Kyle, do you even want to win these? Like, what is the incentive when you are so entrenched in a veteran alliance to win?
So I think the incentive is what Fessy actually tried to do with Coryell here is this is where it makes sense to go to the people who would so clearly, other than how Tor did, like, this is how you do it. You know who's going in. You go to them, especially when it's a strong team, like Corey and Michelle were, and ask them who they want.
Well, Corey went to Fessy. Let's say that.
Yes, but
to be clear.
Well, yeah, I guess that is true. But Fessy heard him out and didn't like, and then call through with it. Sure. But I think that's the reason you do it, because you put yourself in that position of power. So you get a strong team to come to you and offer you a deal. And then hopefully it gets you safety and it builds a bond and alliance potentially with these rookies that eventually are going to be paired with different vets to help you further in the game. So that is the upside to winning.
I feel like the consequence of having to throw two people down is worse, is a greater consequence, is a worse consequence than the benefit of what can be gained by making a deal like this. In this situation where the rookies are in such little power, you know, it's a 50% chance they even stay anyway, right? Like, mm-hmm. Fessy ends up earning nothing from this, pissing off Amber B and pissing off Huey.
Fessy, they get to keep their partnership, though. Like, if Fessy's super happy with Esther, winning keeps that going for a little bit further.
Right. So I guess that's... And so if I'm Devin or Kyle, like, I don't really care if I win. So it makes this move even dumber for Kyle to me.
Yeah, you would think next week, or I guess not. Yeah, like next week or the week after is really when you do want to be in that power where, you know, you can start making different types of moves.
But all right. And this also was a little shades of Fessy and Nelson and Hallbrow to me. Definitely less damaging to Devin than Fessy was to Nelson to like go against him in an elimination. Mm-hmm. But it was the same sort of like, well, all I could think about is how I wanted to win and I didn't care about screwing you. Sorry.
It might have been the same episode too. I feel like it might have been like episode 4 last season, so it was right around the same time.
Of course, Nelson the most mad on Devin's behalf for this situation.
Yes, good on Nelson.
Love the transition music to the club scene. Great, hit me with the NSYNC. Loved it.
Yeah, nice little throwback. Very surprising to see that popped in, but good choice.
You know what's shocking? Because Lance Bass showed up on Bachelor in Paradise, and Lance Bass was on mm-hmm. like a cameo on The Circle because his assistant was on. It is like devastating to me that there are people who don't know who NSYNC is, who like walk the earth among us.
Yeah, we're old.
but
we're old.
But didn't we know like New Kids on the Block? Like, I feel like I knew the Jerry Maguire was his name. That got the blue eyes.
I think most people would know who they are. I think
no, so many people don't know who they are. It's shocking.
Like, if anything, I feel like this generation is, oh my god, I sound so old saying that, but I feel like this generation, it's a lot easier to connect with the previous generation's like arts nowadays, just because it's so much more accessible than it was like for us when we were at this age, because they like, you could watch anything, all the shows are available, all the music is like freely streaming, like it's so much easier to know what was right before you.
Okay, don't at me. I was thinking of Joey McIntyre and I don't want to talk about it because I just proved my own point wrong. Yeah, that's very true. On the flip side, there's so much more media to consume, sure. Right? Like, it's like, but people, educate yourselves. Know who Lance Bass is. I don't want to hear about it.
Yes. He's not just from The Circle. Not just that.
We talked about Coryell and Fessy this conversation. I was really impressed with Corey here. Agreed. Good that Fessy heard him out. They want Huey and Bettina. Cool. Makes sense. Fine. Devin and Josh, great conversation from them. I thought, agreed with Devin that Josh is giving advice that I think Devin would have come to on his own, but good for Josh for like seeing the game for how it is.
Yeah. I mean, this was kind of hinted out last season's reunion. It felt like they were in a decent spot coming out of that. It's carrying over here. And Devin and Josh, I mean, I think Josh is finally getting that self-awareness that Devin's always had, is we're not like, we could be entertaining, maybe we're sort of strategic depending upon what you're feeling about these people are, but they're not the most athletic, so they need to go against the people like each other to win this game. And good on Josh for finally I think recognizing that Devin's right about that and get a Devin versus Josh final. Well, what a moment that could be.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, I never do that, it's like crazy. Mm-hmm. But I think this shipping, if you ship a couple, take a drink, is my favorite rule, because like Jeremiah and Amber B, Does Kyle ship them? Like, I'm so interested. Like, do you ship them? I don't know.
I don't know yet. I mean, I think so. I don't really know much about Jeremiah at all. So hopefully, I mean, normally Amber B doesn't really get that much screen time either. So I don't know how much this is going to help him. But hopefully they get more screen time because we get to know him. Because, sure, they both seem happy in the club.
I just didn't love Jeremiah on Love Island. I didn't dislike him. I just didn't think he brought anything. Again, I think I've said, like, I don't really get what they saw in him to bring him on here. But I've been wrong before. I think in these first four episodes, there's not much more than we saw on Love Island. Amber, it's also part of it's like, I think I know Amber B's dating somebody else. I think she's, like, pretty public about her boyfriend on Twitter. So, you know, whatever.
Quick fling.
We love a quick fling.
Yeah. Go for it. Challenge House. We missed that. Look, we haven't had the quick flings in the Challenge House in a little while, so definitely not going to shoot any of them down.
That's right. To borrow from Scally, Team Mess. That's why I'm totally fine with all these new, young, hotness people coming in and bringing us back old school a little bit. But someone who's not acting old school, again, to give a little credit to Fessy, so maybe I shouldn't have called it his worst episode ever, but that was called a bit, people. It's called a joke. No. Fessy, I think, says to Corey, I can't make this deal. I like what you're selling. I'm interested, but I can't make a purchase without talking to my partner. And doesn't just go to Esther in the way that we've seen male and female vets treat their rookie partners in past seasons. Doesn't just go and bulldoze Esther, says, what do you think about this? And Esther says, I want to use, like, you're a vet, you're protected. I want to use this for me to make deals, not for you to make deals. And, you know, Esther probably thinks it's sort of like Big T's win last season. Like, she probably thinks she can get more than she really can out of it. Mm-hmm. But I think Fessy really hears her out and respects her, which is nice to see.
Yeah.
Again, the bar is so low.
Yeah. But I love the way Esther's thinking. Like, I don't know how much, like, she actually could gain out of it. But the fact that she is thinking out of it and not like just like Ed from last or 2 weeks ago when he was like, I'm just going to follow my partner and do whatever they want. Like, no, she has a mind of her own. Wants to do and make a decision that's best for her and thinking long term. So this was a great scene for her. Esther's been great. By far one of the best rookies.
We love Esther. I think Esther will definitely be back. I think probably around last week's episode or maybe even the week before that, she sort of punched her ticket to come back.
Yep. Love to see her. You know, if she gets into elimination, like knocks out like an Anissa or a Tori or something like that, it really makes a name for herself. That would go a long way too.
Devin and Kyle make up right before deliberation. Perfect timing. Henry says, do you think the Kyle and Devin thing is going to have consequences down the line?
I don't. I feel like it's going to be squashed here. I think Kyle might be just in a bad shape just because of the house dynamics overall. Like this probably didn't help. But I don't think now Kyle and Devin are going to be going after each other.
I think it'll have no consequences at all. I think I thought the Kyle and CT thing would have more consequences over the Cam issue, and that doesn't seem to matter. So I can't imagine someone you talk to every day you consider your best friend isn't going to let this go.
Yeah, and again, like it wasn't like the most egregious betrayal in the history of betrayals. This didn't lead to Kyle getting voted in, didn't lead to Kyle getting eliminated. It's a lot easier to swallow with, you know, the full result of this week.
Right. In the scheme of things, this really was more of a bungle, whatever.
Yeah. If anything, it worked out.
In the scheme of things, it was a dating app.
Yeah. If anything, probably for Kyle and Devin, it worked out because, you know, it causes such a more of a target on Fessy. The Big Brother stuff is kind of in shambles. And then maybe now they're able to kind of almost escape by a little bit.
So you're saying you think it was set up?
Yes. All set up. Great job. Beautiful job by Dial.
Let's talk about this deliberation where nothing was really being deliberated, but probably the most interesting deliberation we've had.
Yeah, I mean, this one comes into Michelle and Coriel. Both know they're going in. They don't really offer much of a defense, which, I mean, again, there's not really much they can offer up. But by far, the most interesting part was finally the voting having an impact on the season by Huey just openly saying, yeah, I voted for us, and Ashley not taking that too kindly.
It's interesting that that's where you start, because to me, the Huey Ashley of it all, like that revelation was really Ashley just looking for a reason to part ways with Huey. That was like if that were Ashley and Kells, Ashley's not going around being like, well, now I can't trust Huey because he burned his vote inconsequentially, and now I'm willing to throw him in. Like, to me, that was like bullshit.
I just love that we got something out of the voting for the first time, that something came up about it. And amazingly, in the aftermath, it was revealed Huey voted for them again. He did it again.
Yeah, that was great.
It was incredible.
Yeah, I thought the Michelle and Corey L strategy here was confusing to me, because they start the speech saying, we're not fighting this, like, we're going in. And then they use all of this airtime to directly attack Huey and Bettina slash Priscilla, sort of indirectly, sort of directly. And so what is the game plan here? First of all, I want to talk about what you think of their argument. And then I want to talk about why they're making it to the house when they're basically only asking Fessy and Esther to make this decision.
I think it kind of all ties together. I think what they wanted to, maybe this is me giving them too much credit, but I think what they wanted to do was to turn the house on them to the point where it would make it an easy vote for Fessy and Esther to vote them in. So there wouldn't be a lot of people in the house being upset that, oh, why would you go after them? They're great. Blah, 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 blah. If you already paint them as like these, you know, floaters, these weak people you don't want on your team, that the house would then be like, oh, great. Fessy and Esther voted them in, tried to get them out, like, good on them for doing that. So maybe that's giving them too much credit, but I think that would be what the logic would be.
Future challenge rookies. It will never matter to anyone voting, rookie or veteran, what is fair, who has, quote, earned their stripes. I'm so tired of rookies saying this phrase. Like, the ambulance that was in the background before with you, Brian, is coming to take away the phrase earn their stripes. I'm so tired of it. It's like, you watch one clip of like the best of Bananas and suddenly you're bringing this out. That's not an attack on Michelle. That's literally an attack on every single person who said that in the last five seasons. Like, the pitch is, the Corey pitch was the right pitch. And you can only make that pitch to Fessy and Esther, which is, if you scratch my back, I will scratch yours, and we are competitors. We will come back and we will protect you. Great pitch. That's something that you can do for Fessy and Esther. To say to the house, you want to go against the weak players? No, let us go against the weak players so that you can later take out the strong people. I thought Ashley poked the perfect hole in their argument, which is, you're making the best point that they made, Brian, but I think it got muddied in a lot of other stuff, which is, these could be your partners. Do you want Huey and Bettina as your partner? But instead, they were like, let's beat the best, let's go against the best. And Ashley points out, no, I got two L's last season. I want to go against the weak people. Why do you get to go against the weak people? I think their argument got lost and they should have kept it to Fessy and Esther. Yes, your point is good that the house is on board, but who's not on board with putting in Bettina, Priscilla, or or Huey? Who cares?
Right. No, absolutely. And I totally get the earn your stripes like that. No one cares. That has never swayed anyone. We've seen it time and time again. The wanting to go up against the best doesn't move the needle. The only thing, as we've seen, that you mentioned that moves the needle is, yes, do you want to have this person as your partner? Do you, like, if Huey goes into Lynch and win, and all of a sudden they're your partner, that's a bad thing. We should want to take them out. Like, you don't want them as your partner, all these other things. Like, that's the only thing we've seen sway people in the past, not, let's do the honorable thing and go against. Like, that's very much challenged, like, 2007 type stuff. So that's not flying right now.
Which is, but it's also even a shitty argument because, okay, if you're so convinced that Bettina and Huey, let's say, are weak, they'd have to go into the elimination and win, or your partner would have to choose to not come back to you. Is Fessy worried about that? Absolutely not. He's not worried that Bettina's going to like crush winning, or that Esther's going to win and abandon him. So it's just such a horrible case. I thought it was a waste of time and made enemies out of people for no reason, because they directly had to attack people for, again, no benefit. And then Huey rolls over, which is the best thing to happen to Michelle and Coriel, that Huey basically just says, like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Let that speak for its GD self to Fessy and to Esther, if that's going to work. Corey instead is like, Is that you pleading your case? Why push him to plead his case? Let him not argue with you.
Yeah, Corey was very... He was trying to puff his chest against Huey. I think he saw Huey, like, I mean, like LCT, like he underestimated him. This comes across very strongly in the aftermath, but he thought he was an easy person to beat. He thought he can like puff his chest out and like knock down the smaller guy and come across looking much stronger. And it obviously bit him in the butt big time coming elimination. But I think that's what, you know, he thought he had an easy win going against Huey.
And so I think my end result here of the end of my huffing and puffing is that Michelle and Coriel way overplayed this, but in their defense, I think their backs were really against the wall the entire time they've been in the house. And they were so rehearsed that it was almost like they weren't going with like what was actually naturally flowing. They were like doing their speeches. So like Coriel was just like on the offense, on the offense, on the offense without feeling the room. Like, do I need to be on the offense with him? He's kind of sinking his own ship. Huey. Yeah. And at the same time, I think they both saw this as the turning point in our game. We go in one more time, we pick new partners, and we are off to the races. And we've made inroads with Fessy and Esther, and we're in the Big Brother Alliance. So we're going to pick people strategically. So I can relate to their desperation here, but it was an overplay.
Yeah. I mean, they probably should have just did what they said they were to. They weren't going to offer anything up. They're going to, you know, say they're going in and wish us the best of luck and then go from there.
Whew, I'm exhausted now.
Anything else before the elimination?
The one thing that I loved is, so like Ashley goes over to talk to, sorry, Huey goes over to talk to Ashley while Ashley's cutting bait with him with Nani and Michelle. Nani immediately gets up and leaves. Michelle adjusts and settles in. Like, I love that she did not leave, because it's like critical to her that Ashley's on board with getting Huey out. So she is going to sit there and not let them, you know, make amends. I loved that from Michelle.
Yeah, Nani should have stayed, because that's his new partner. That's her new partner. So should have got to know him a little bit better.
But no, we can take it to the lair.
So we get down there. Huey, easy vote in. And then we get to the girl vote. Start off with Fessy, and he's going on this speech about how, you know, I don't know if I can trust this person, I feel like they might be coming after me. And as he's going, Josh is, no, don't do it, don't do it. And then Fessy tries to pull the trigger and vote in Amber, as Amber and then Josh also try to defend the Big Brother Alliance.
Yeah, we have a ton of questions about this. So let's start with Caitlin Glancy, who said, do you think the Josh/Fessy fight was performative?
Performative like for TV, or performative like that they didn't believe what they were saying? Because I always believe Josh hyped things up for TV, but I do believe him that he was trying to fight this vote.
My assumption is this was sort of like a la Gus and Josh, like they're not real, they don't actually care, they're both trying to get screen time. But I believed Josh here, and I agreed with him. I think it was so genuinely frustrating to watch your closest ally make such a stupid, unnecessary move that hurts you, and ultimately hurts him, and as best is neutral. Like, it was a crazy move, and I would have that same reaction. Julia says, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm Team Josh. Also, TJ kind of irritated me when he was acting like the yelling was below the challenge. Like, this is what we want. But what did you guys think of Josh standing up for Amber?
So first on the TJ thing, I will absolutely not accept that. I thought that was hysterical. Pulls out his phone and then steals my catchphrase, telling them all to shut up.
TJ was out here like, I have another one too. This is what I did today. I saw that at 3:30 and was like, oh my god, TJ's out here like Brian.
Shut up.
But this is TJ. Like, this is the on brand for TJ. Anytime he's out there for elimination vote or deliberation or anything of the sort, and people start yelling at each other, he's like, no, when I'm not here, do this when I'm not here. He doesn't want to be involved in this. He wants to show up for his few minutes, you know, do what he has to do and get out of there. He doesn't want to be involved in the drama. So no, I won't have that here. Not here.
Okay. But you have to be, sorry, you signed up for it. You're the host of the challenge. I liked, if he shut it down immediately, I would be with you, Julia. But he let it go on as long as it needed to go on and then did his shtick. So, like, him pulling out the phone is funny, good shtick.
Yep.
And then him ultimately giving them the sunny shut up is great. And I think we did get to see the fight play out as long as it needed to. So, if, again, if he was like, do this when I'm not here, Josh, get back in line, and didn't let him go off, then I'd be like, you're on the wrong show.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And it probably obviously went on for much longer than like the whatever 30 seconds a minute it was on TV. So that's going on for 10, 15 minutes. You know, they have to get to elimination. It's, you know, you get to it.
Also, Fessy out here, like, you can't save everybody, was so frustrating to me. Like, maybe Josh has this list of you can't say Nani, you can't say Casey, you can't say Devin, you can't say whatever. Like, maybe he's got this long list. I could see Josh saying that to Fessy, but like, there's no need to be saying Amber. So the issue is not that Josh is trying to protect too many people. The issue is that Josh is trying to tell you the right move.
So where does Josh go from here? Because it seemed like he's drew the line in the
straight
sand.
Straight to hell. No.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
No, not like that. Like, in the way I see him there, I didn't mean it like that at all.
It seems like he is obviously signing with Amber B. So is he now against Fessy? Are they targeting each other? If Josh wins, like, is he going after him? Like, where does he land here? Because if this lands with him firmly against Fessy, like, this was disastrous, I feel like, for him.
But Brian, as you well know, but certainly not as well as some other people in my life, to know me, to be friends with me, is to put up with an outburst from time to time. So I have to imagine the same is true about being friends with Josh. So I think this goes back to completely normal, that they have a conversation next week and Josh is like, just killed me. Like, look at what happened. Because he is also he ends up on the right side of history where Amber B wins, they get ripped up, and now he's like really got a target from Amber B on his back, Fessy. So I think Fessy and Josh are going to just squash it as like, we agreed to disagree. I took the shot. I was in power. Well, I was getting mad because I ended up being right. Okay. And they can just kind of move forward.
If it comes out like that, I would take back my stance of this last couple of minutes being disastrous for him. But if it comes out where he now has to pick a side and can't really have Fessy as, you know, in his corner, and I would say this is very bad, and very because of just, so his openly fighting it. Like, if you do it on the side, one on one, back at the house, it's one thing, but in front of the house, doing it at the elimination, like, you really, like, that's, it's hard. It's hard to come back from it. So if Josh can't come back from it with Fessy, then, you know, good on him.
Again, as someone who's prone to an outburst or two, it's shocking to me that you think that that's even possible. Like, I was like, no, they'd be fine. Like, I didn't even think to ask you if you thought this would have lasting impact, because I thought this is like sort of how they communicate.
I guess I haven't had the outburst from you against me in a while, so I kind of forget, you know.
I don't think I've ever had an outburst on you.
No, I don't think so, but you never
But
know.
You've heard me express feelings towards other people. Is what I was referring to. No, I mean, I'm not on reality television, but it'll be interesting. I hear that little Yosef. Get out of here with that.
So Amber B voted in with Huey to play Down to the Wire.
I'm just still so shocked by this. I agree with Michelle where she was like, we wanted something physical, like, it's this is the name of the game, but it is sort of frustrating when at this point I was sort of rooting for Coryell and Michelle to make a comeback. Same. I've sort of grown to like them. I'm fine with Amber B and Huey staying. I think it's going to be interesting next week as a result, but it kind of feels like Kells again, where it's like, okay, we have a stronger team and they're going to go home on a puzzle.
Yeah. For the game's sake, Coryell and Michelle winning, I think, would have been far better. But Amber B coming back now is also adding intrigue. But just in terms of how things are going to play out next week, just because of how now there's obviously a clear rookie team, it makes things pretty clear cut again for next week, which is a bummer. But having Amber B back in the house to at least cause that level of chaos is a little bit of a plus to lose Michelle and Coryell.
Where's my trophy, by the way, for saying that has to be why Devin kept getting picked? Pulled that out of my bum.
Oh, because he just kept like asking to be picked?
No, oh, last week I was like, do you think it's to secure a rookie team? And this week they explain, like, we're all saying pick Devin because then we get a rookie team.
Well, I think that's more just for this week. Like, I think the other 2 weeks it worked out, but like, specifically for this one, it was very important to do it just because how few rookies there are left.
But that was the same as last week. Or 2 weeks ago, whatever, not when Berna picked for the week before.
I think there was more, like, you could have picked more people and it still would have resulted. Like, obviously, you don't have to pick Devin, but... Like,
no, I'm not saying that Devin would be the only pick. No, any pick, picking any veteran who is paired with a rookie would do it, but I think I'm willing to... I suggested it last week. I'm willing to say that it was validated this week. I know it's not 100%. You could disagree, but I think that that's where Devin's head was at. It's not like pick me because he wasn't raising his hand for great partners. It was like pick me because then I am protecting this vet alliance. And that's how Devin's mind works.
The only
and
thing
that, three I weeks mean, late, that's how my mind works.
they gave Josh the credit. Like, it seemed like Josh in the moment, like he was the one pointing at Devin. Right. So
they
he was the
like
one
Corey,
thinking,
and
like,
they were all like pick Devin.
Yeah. And then, but I mean, look, for the show purposes, they gave Josh the confessional of we wanted them to pick Josh. So we have, you know, a rookie team next week to clearly go in. So they gave, at least for the show's sake, they keep propping up Josh to give him the props.
Yeah.
That was a lot of props.
I'm propping myself up to give myself the props. I don't really care who the show is giving props to. So I guess a lot of interesting things even happened within the challenge. Normally it was sort of yada 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 the elimination, but Huey starts a fight with Coryell during the challenge. Celeb alert, the RHAP out of context Twitter wrote in using our form, thank you very much, is Huey fighting in the elimination the best thing to happen on this season?
Wait, did they use the like the name RHAP out of context?
Yes.
Oh, that's incredible. I was wondering if they added themselves.
No. I would protect you.
Wait, so was this the most incredible moment to happen during an elimination?
This season. Like, do you like Huey fighting during the elimination?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very fun to have an open fight during the elimination. That's very, you don't really get that a lot just based off the structure of some of these eliminations, but it's very funny just to see a full on argument. I wish they weren't handcuffed to the thing. I feel like they would have just started getting each other's faces and taking it up a notch. It would have been very funny. But yeah, that's pretty rare to see.
It's very on brand for Huey, and you've mentioned this before, but it's like, Huey pops off all the time. It's like we saw him in the first deliberation when Asha was like, say nothing, and Huey gets involved and she's like, say nothing. You know, like Huey kind of needs to be focused. Like he'll just pop off and like left and right and keep his eyes off the prize. Like you're in an elimination, you're winning and they end up winning by a lot, but like not enough to feel comfortable to just pause and yell at the other side.
Yeah, not only yell, but like kind of be like, hey, we got through the same thing. You suck. Just, you could get through that. Like he wasn't showboating, but it felt like him like high stepping along the way. Like, oh, look, I got through it. You can.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then Huey drops the key. Like, again, he's just not focused at all. Thank God Amber, they would have lost if Amber, at least from what they made it seem like, if Amber did not notice that Huey dropped the key.
Right. Especially like where, I mean, it seemed like he dropped it pretty close to the end. So I don't know if they would have had to gone back even that far anyway. But yeah, good on Amber to kind of point that out. It was really interesting to see how much Corey and Michelle were freaking out with how much they were stuck. Like, I almost thought for a moment they were about to like pause the challenge and be like, did we actually screw up? Like, was there a production issue with the elimination?
Yeah, not a great look for them. Like, I can get if it seemed like they were stuck, it's frustrating. But like, I was sort of like, how frequently does Survivor stop to like reset something like this? If like that's her natural instinct is to just be like, this is broken. This is broken.
It's a good point. I don't know. That's a good question.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty,
and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
So Huey wins. They destroy. Like, Amber and Huey win by what seems like a large margin based on his ability to stop and yell and then get the key, do the splits. But he goes into Coryell's face. Really, probably one of the worst versions of showboating we've seen in a challenge in a while. Connor M says, why is it that when Josh has an emotional outburst, it comes across as immature and overly dramatic, whereas when Huey has his moments, it also seems endearing? Do you guys get a similar impression from their behavior?
The endearing was not the word I was going to use based off that. So I was going to come up with immature and emotional and annoying. So that's where I was going to land on that.
Yeah, I had the exact opposite reaction as Connor here, but thank you for the question. But I could at least appreciate, even if I agree that it's like not the best move, I can appreciate where Josh's frustration was coming from in that moment. I can also appreciate why Huey was hurt and betrayed by Coryell, and we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. I think it looked insane. Like, he looked like an asshole. Like, you're punching down at that point. You won. You get to stay. Like, hold your head high, which is what TJ gives him, a strong TJ lecture.
Yeah, to both, because Coryell shoved them back. Not a good look for either of them. As TJ says, there's a way to win with class. And the ladies showed that. The men did not. Bad on them.
Patrick M said, did tonight's elimination solidify Huey's return and doom Coryell forever?
Ooh, that seems drastic. I don't think so. I feel like I'm not sold on Huey as a more than a one-timer. I'm not really sold on Coryell as more than a one-timer, but I think it's still a toss-up for both. I guess I would give the edge to Huey just because he's obviously going to last longer in the game, but I probably would say they both don't come back.
Interesting. I would lean they both have a greater than 50% chance of coming back. I particularly, because I think gay men are completely underrepresented on the challenge, which has been, you know, diversity in casting has not really been a challenge problem. And I think where they sort of lack is the LGBT community as of late. Mm-hmm. And I think they both showed a lot of fight, showed a lot of personality, showed a lot of athleticism. Like, they both, to me, have like very strong reasons to be brought back regardless of their sexuality. But that certainly helps. I really want Corey to get another chance. I feel like Corey got dealt a raw deal. I think he won the most unlucky on the challenge, like stupid match game on the after show. And I agreed with that. I think he has a lot of potential, and he was one of the most strategic, or one of the rookies who demonstrated the most strategic thinking, even though he wasn't able to sort of implement it. I think they also talked about, on the aftermath, getting, like, he was trying to get the rookies together to vote out Kyle and Amanda as the only vet team, but obviously couldn't get that off the ground. At least he's thinking about it, talking about it. I do think we have to talk about what else came with Coryell targeting Huey. And a lot of the conversation on the aftermath, a lot of the conversation on Twitter and conversation on the show was how terrible Coryell felt about doing to Huey what had been done to him, which is underestimating him because he's gay, or not sticking with somebody who also comes in with the same sort of representation pressure on their shoulders. And it just made me think, and obviously this is going on with the cookout on Big Brother, and it's like how much more someone like Coryell has to think about in a way that, like, Michelle can try to target Bettina and nobody's saying boo, like someone she perceives as weak. Even and if Bettina showed up and beat her ass, she'd be like, oh, good for her, like, she beat me, I underestimated her. Like we had with Tori, and who beat Tori last season? Big T.
Did Anissa beat Tori?
Maybe Anissa. I feel like Tori underestimated someone and ended up. You're right.
No, Anissa did beat Tori. That sounds right, but I don't remember. I can't remember.
Imagine us remembering.
Yeah.
But so I just think it's sort of it's certainly unfair that Corey has to be sort of thinking about this and feeling this even more because he is part of an underrepresented group on the challenge. Mm-hmm. I hope one day he doesn't have to think about these things, but I also do think he did judge Huey by his sexuality, at least in part. And it was interesting to see and how the responsibility he's taken on and how Huey held him accountable to that and didn't just roll over and say, it's okay. Like he was like, you really hurt me. I think they worked it out since they worked it out in the aftermath. We'll see how that sort of progresses if they're ever back on again.
Yeah. And it's a tough spot because it wasn't like Coryell, like he did actively go after Huey, but only because he knew he was going in. He wasn't like in a position of power going after Huey just for the sake of it. Like his back was against the wall. He is in survival mode and he's thinking, for me, who do I think I can beat? And yeah, like, I mean, it's tough I'm sure for him, as you said, it's like, you know, he's got a lot of different feelings going on of who he should support, who is his ally. But at that point, he's just in strictly survival mode. He's thinking, who do I think I have the best chance to beat? And in his mind, I don't even think he was inaccurate. It would be to go against Huey. It didn't work out, but based off just the purely size difference between them, it's a fair choice to make.
Right. And it's somebody that Fessy might be willing to put in. Too. Mm-hmm. And we saw the same thing happen with the Survivor Alliance, right? But that has different connotations because it's Survivor. It's not, you know, like something that people are marginalized for. It's not an identity. Like it's, you know, so it was tough. It was tough to see. I think Coryell's gotten a lot of hate and has, you know, fair or unfair, and has put a lot of weight on himself for it, and then sort of takes it back a little in the aftermath, right? Like he was like,
yeah,
I never made a deal with you, or he said something else like kind of like, you know, but I do believe he feels bad.
Yeah, he feels regret. A couple of times he apologized for underestimating and all this stuff, but then he followed up with, but I still like think I could beat you in almost anything physical. So like he's still doing it, like, I guess I'm sorry for underestimating you, but let me continue to underestimate you.
All right. So we get to the first, like, will they, won't they partner decision, where shout out to Amber B for immediately saying no. So it's like not a rejection to Huey. Like she says no before he can even propose it.
Yeah. And a great, very funny reaction from Huey. It's a hard no from Amber. Hard no.
Huey is someone who made his pick early on because he was like, I want someone experienced who's like not that good at the challenge. Like, I'm fine. Like, I think he wanted like Anissa, right? He was like, she seems like she'll be nice to me about like physicality. And it seems like he picks Nani for the same reason.
Yeah, he says Nani's got a good social game, not a great physical game, but got a good social game, which I think, I mean, it's probably true a little while ago. I don't know how good Nani's social game is right now. So might not go super well.
I mean, it's pretty good if you count Casey as social game.
I guess so. It is. That has really come up, though. Like, we have the Big Brother Alliance, and Casey and Nani are obviously a pair. But we haven't seen anyone lump Nani in with them. So I don't know where the house views that as like now a fivesome, basically, or not anymore. But before the Big Brother Alliance broke down.
I do think Gabo, in exchange for Huey, is like sort of neutral. Like, I feel like Gabo was making Nani uncomfortable this whole episode. Was that just me?
I don't know. I thought Nani was pretty complimentary. I mean, she had a couple of things of like, oh, you know, Gabo's super easy to work with. He's friendly. I don't know. I didn't
when
think
he
up
pet
that
her
much.
Head, I feel like she was like, thanks, Gabo.
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I don't think it's a downgrade from popcorn muscle. So I think Nani's in fine shape with Huey instead.
And then Amber picks Devin, as we already discussed, and Ashley and Josh end up together. Caitlin Glancy says, are Ashley and Josh the messiest team of all time?
Yeah, it's a pretty, you know, I mean, between Ashley and Josh and Amanda and Kyle, those are a pretty fun double pair that we haven't gotten a lot of out of Amber and Kyle, Amanda and Kyle yet, but I expect to as the weeks go on.
Yeah. So Patrick M says, I forget when this happened, but I remember it happening. I thought this was funny. Patrick M said, Fessy, Josh won Big Brother for a reason. Me, a 28-year-old addicted to TikTok. What was the reason?
So we've all been wondering. Bangkok, here's something. Pans Lab, I guess? I don't know.
Here's something I normally wouldn't read, but I felt like complimenting us. Tosh said, I've been listening to y'all for at least 4 years or so, and I just looked up your faces for the first time, and I'm impressed. Be hot. Never change. No wonder this podcast is straight fire. In all seriousness, why was that not serious, Tosh?
Yeah.
Thanks for what you
do. Is that true? Is that like a, just kidding, not.
Thanks for what you do in making, especially these most recent challenge seasons bearable. Y'all rock. Thank you, Tosh.
That was very nice. Sort of, I think.
Yeah, if you want to be nice to us, you could do so at robhiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes and leave us a review. We have one question about the aftermath. They asked who was most likely to make it to season 40. Ryan Taylor says, do you think the challenge will make it to season 40?
I would think so. I mean, the ratings are not good. But I don't know. I think the MTV still loves the challenge, not as much as they love Ridiculousness. But I think this is still, you know, one of their top shows, so I can't imagine it going anywhere. I mean, it's season 37, right? So three more. I would be stunned if we don't get to at least 40.
We'll be here with bells on.
40
I don't
bells.
Know why I said that sarcastically. I didn't mean that sarcastically. All right. Social media. So I was on the social media today. And this just goes to show you how badly we need Megan Elizabeth, because I don't have a ton. But Corey said, you live and you learn. When I eventually win a season of the challenge, this is Corey L. I want to get there without losing sight of what's important to me. I effed up and underestimated a badass competitor. I'm rooting for you now, Huey. Do it for the gays. Rainbow emoji, prayer hands emoji. I love this energy from Amber B. Middle fingers up with a picture of her with her middle finger up. To those who love to talk shit with an exclamation point for the eye about me behind my back, knowing I'm a good person and always have the best intentions. Dot, dot. Yeah, I see you. Eyes emoji, strong middle finger emoji, hashtag lesson learned. I wonder who that's about.
I don't know, but I really hope this is like Amber's coming out party. Like, obviously, she had a great season last season winning. Can't get much better than that. But for personality wise and like character wise, I hope this episode really spearheads like Amber becoming a big focal point of the show.
She is 3-0 now in eliminations and 1-0 in finals.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is I think by far her most impressive elimination win. There's no more, you know, take away all the little asterisks, but no matter who she beats, she's beating now anyone that they put in front of her. So good on her.
Huey took 70% credit for winning this on the aftermath. That should be noted.
Yes, it should be. Well, the split, he did the split, so.
All right, Ashley was on one. She was just tweeting up a storm. Leave Huey alone, all caps, exclamation point. Amanda tweeted, you don't see me and Ashley by the pool because we slept till 1 p.m. every day, tilted laugh cry emoji. Ashley said, laugh cry emoji. Okay, I sleep until noon and you until 3, dot, dot, dot. Stop lying to these people for laugh cry emojis. I have no idea what she's talking about, half of this. Not Michelle, crying emoji. I love my pony girl, heart emoji, FFL. Meech, fuck that. You deserve to win Survivor and more. Don't listen to these social media losers.
Yeah, how about Michelle? First time being eliminated. She brought that up.
Yeah, I saw your sucking kneecaps tweet.
I didn't tag her. I think tagging her would have been sucking kneecaps.
Yeah, no. Again, Michelle, I think I was going to say it was like my biggest surprise. But I forget what I originally predicted about her on the challenge. And I think most people were extremely up on her. I think I was more high on Michaela, but Michelle
definitely
will be back.
The reactions of those picks.
For sure. I think Michelle will definitely be back. And I think she's currently the survivor to challenge crossover that I think has the most staying power.
Yes, I would agree for sure.
Ashley, LOL, love you, Mish, but the queen is staying, hopefully. My only other female champ, gotta keep her around. Okay. She just tweeted at the Michaela B heart emoji. She's amazing. Okay. Okay. Really don't know what happened because I do not remember and I never watched TV, which is sad, but y'all yelling at me because we're not partners no more, and that sucks. I'm sad and I'm being serious. I do not remember. I have no idea what you're talking about. You already covered Amanda's tweet about Bettina and Fessy. Amanda said the Corey and Huey fight went on for a long time. Effing awesome entertainment. Loved it. I maybe just
that's why TJ wants to like just be on the computer for that, so he doesn't have to sit around for it during the deliberation.
Great point. Amanda said, I'm sad they cut out a man yelling, I love you, as Mischwitz walked out. Three queasy emojis. What a troll.
And that was another thing to use on the episode, like Fessy and Michelle maybe being a thing. I don't know. Seemed like it's
that
not,
was but, weird.
But they were like teasing it. I don't know. It was very, that made me more uncomfortable than like anything else. That was weird.
Huey tweeted, Amber has never been in their alliance. She was just used by the looks of it. You're with me, baby. Let's do this. Two heart emojis. Amber wrote, big facts. I feel so dumb. Love you loads, though, babe. And thank you for sticking by me. A heart emoji.
It is weird to say Amber was used by the Big Brother alliance when she won. I feel like she should start flipping that and be like, I used the Big Brother alliance because I won the frickin' show.
True. But I think it's a better narrative for her to have been loyal and been screwed and mm-hmm. still won.
Sure. It's like an but she also won. Take the badass approach, like, yeah, you know, I use you guys, screw that. I dragged you guys again and I took home the title.
You like my sports reference? It's like an and one.
I bet. Very nice.
How you like that? All right. Quick shout out to, there was an Entertainment Weekly article that Sydney Buxbaum, friend of Johnny Langan and Northwestern alum, wrote. They did an interview with Corey and Michelle that has some interesting information, what they would have done, what their plan was supposed to be, who they would have picked. So definitely check that out. Not that Entertainment Weekly needs us to plug them, but I thought it was interesting. Michelle tweeted, it's not fun to play with your back against the wall. It means that you have to do things and hurt people to survive. Truly hard to watch that deliberation. Corey said, if I had to lose to anyone, I'm glad I lost to the other gay. These straight dudes don't deserve that honor. Like, smug blessings emoji. It's like a face like, all right. And that's it from the Soch.
All right. Drinking game. We had 12 total. Six mentions of the Veteran Alliance, four spy musics being played, just one shipping a couple. You care to guess which one Kyle is shipping?
Kyle is shipping Big T and Logan.
He's shipping Dial.
That's excellent.
And then one intra-partnership disagreement between Ashley and Huey.
So unexpected, but so obvious.
You got anything to add for this week?
I'll add, anytime someone references their kid or that they have a kid, not their whole family, not their girlfriends, their wives, their boyfriends, their husbands, not the kids.
There you go. I'm going to take the suggestion from Jesse. At the jerk, saying there's a couple mentions of Kyle's teeth, so I'm gonna bring that back. Anytime Kyle's teeth are mentioned, or they add a little special effects to show the whitening of it, anything Kyle's teeth gets shown.
Oh, I got beep beep.
I was waiting for you the entire episode for you to do the beep beep at any moment, like Beetlejuice again. I was gonna have it ready for you. You didn't do it. I was ready though. No, I was ready.
No, but I did read the full Wikipedia of Candyman, so it's like I've seen it.
Oh, perfect. You saw the movie. Fantastic. Good for you. For this week.
Beep.
For this week, you lost 1 point for Amber B's elimination win, gained 3 points for Coriel's elimination loss at this point in the game. 1 point for Emmy for no confessionals, and lost a half point from Nani for being stolen.
Now
you have a total. Go for it.
I was gonna say, I like our chances like projected into next week, because if the veterans can hang together one more week, we got a popcorn muscles and Emmy at both our team looking like the biggest targets.
Yep. Good chance that I'm hoping to lose my fourth person. That'd be fantastic.
Now we were either going to lose points or win them.
Right, right. Go for broke here. So you have 2.5 points total for the season. For Scally, he lost a half point. Lost 1 point for Huey for winning elimination. 3 points, gaining 3 points for Michelle winning the elimination. A half point for gaining a half point from Ashley for being left by their partner, and once again, incredibly, losing half point for Devin being stolen. If we go on to win this, Devin losing 1.5 points so far total for being stolen is going to be the reason why, because that is just incredible.
Well, let's just break that whole thing down. Nani and Devin lose points for being stolen, and Ashley gains a point for being left. In what world?
Yeah, I mean, the people that have been stolen so far, Devin 3 times, Nani, and then Tori 2 times. So Devin's, like, that's crazy. Devin's the only person, only guy to be stolen.
Well, for wild. Complete strategic reasons. The entire wild time, stuff. Every single time.
Wildly, nothing happened for Matt Liguori's team. Just no changes. And for me, I only got a gain to 0.5 point for Josh being left by their partner. So right now, combined, we are at 16. They're at 17. So it's very close.
We are 16 going on 17. I mean, we're in striking distance, baby. It's anyone's game. I'm crushing Scally 2.5 to 2. You're hanging in there with Matt. Let's just discuss Matt's team for a second. You have the best picks in terms of you've lost 3 people straight up. Matt has had all 3 people who have been wild. Deactivated. That's incredible.
Just incredible. Yeah, he lost Tommy, Lauren, and Nam all for non-elimination reasons. I'm very much the pick I'm regretting. Esther in the second round, 5th overall. Not my best work. I was hoping for more of a fighting between her and Tasha. Didn't happen, so we're along for the ride with Esther. That could be the reason why we might lose this season. We'll see.
Very funny that almost all of our 4th to last picks have gone home. But I'm starting to suspect young Matthew that it was young Matthew spoiled somehow that these people were going to leave. So I do believe we recorded before they began the season, but still a little sus.
I think we recorded before they even left the United States. So if he was spoiled in advance, you know, good on him for predicting the future. And hopefully he can put his powers to better use.
He does have Ed, so he did have one of the replacement people.
Yeah, but he's looking in pretty good shape, unless CT once again. Okay, all right. Like, these people, CT, and it's 4 episodes in. CT is not even getting a whiff of a mention. They're all starting to turn on each other. CT's just gonna win the season again. Like, that's just, I mean, these people are crazy. Like, at a certain point, just put him in every freaking week. He's gonna win again.
We'll see. That's a prediction.
I mean, they're lunatics.
2 months. How do they not come together? 2 months together now.
I mean, they're worried about getting freaking Kells out, Coriel out. Sure, I'd be worried about them too, but they're not freaking CT.
Sure. I mean, and also, who are you going to have left to take out CT? You're going to have to use yourselves, right? What's Fessy's plan? I think Fessy, as we've said, is just cocky enough to think he could beat CT. But what's Kyle's plan? What's Devin's plan? I guess their only plan is putting in Fessy and CT against each other, which means you have to get into power. They can't be in power. And then who's going to be left to take the last person out? You need these big behemoth of rookies to take them out. You wasted it.
Yep. Wasted. And they had it all set up. They had all these like big, young, strong rookies to go in early and the power to take it in CT every single time. They didn't do it.
Do we have more bits? I feel like we're done, right?
I think our bits are done. Yeah, I think we're done. I guess we just other plugs. So what do you got going on?
NGOG dropped on time, baby. You can check that out. We've got another. We're coming into the Jewish New Year this week. But we've got another very messy NGOG queued up. So that will drop as usual on Wednesdays. Anchor.fm/newgirl. Old guy, and you leave me alone. Otherwise, you follow me at Last Tweets.
There you go. I mentioned at the open, but I made my post show recap debut, joining the great Josh Wiggler and Jess to talk about Community. A lot of fun there, so you can check that out. And then, yes, just follow me on Twitter, Cohen with a C, Brian with an I _. Subscribe, robsboatsite.com/challenge iTunes. We'll be back next week for episode 5. Until then, have a good one. It's the recap of MTV. Your hosts, Ali and Brian T. And the drunk end of our
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.